In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For some reason, there was no Toblerone in the shops when St. Patrick went to Ireland. And so he had to make do with a shamrock, clayblatt, to show what he meant when he preached about God, the Holy Trinity. Three leaves, but one plant. Celtic spirituality is very strong on the Trinity in its language and its structures. And you have a flavour of it in our liturgy today. And I often think that early Irish art, and if you've got one of the booklets, there's an example on the front, I often think that that style of art, with its flowing, intertwining lines, reflects something of the nature of the Trinity, where God is not one, but three individuals in a relationship, constantly mobile, constantly attending to each other, in lovingly giving and receiving. It is very different from the theology of, say, Calvin, for whom God is independent, immovable, sovereign. So much so that some of his followers stopped believing in the Trinity altogether, and others downgraded the doctrine to the margins of Christian life. In the present generation, though, the Trinity has made a steady comeback. Not as a piece of difficult theology that no one really understands, but as a vital way of describing, first, God's relationship with us, and second, the relationships within his church. Interestingly, it was the Swiss theologian Karl Barth, himself a Calvinist, who led this revival, this comeback of the doctrine of the Trinity into the everyday life of the church. For Barth, Trinity is the way God chooses to reveal himself to humanity and to go on revealing himself in the church today. God, as we know, reveals himself in creation. When we gasp in wonder at the pink glow of the setting sun's rays on the Jungfrau, or the bright, brilliant flash of blue of a kingfisher, an Eisvogel, down by the Aare, he reveals himself to us also in the lives of human beings, for we are made in the image of God. That is why, for instance, marriage is held in such high esteem, revealing as it does aspects of the Father's character, like faithfulness, constancy, patience, and trust. The fact that God is the relationship we call Trinity means that all these aspects were always part of God's nature from the first. You cannot be patient just with yourself. You cannot have a trust only for yourself, or share just with yourself. And so, to reveal himself as these things, God needed a way to reveal himself, and someone to reveal himself to. He had to create the universe. Creation is a consequence of how God is. But as we know, in any relationship, you take a risk. Another person can ignore your greeting. Friends fall out. Marriages fail. We have imagined the created world to be given over to us to use for our own ends, to exploit and pollute. And so, in creating, God accepted that there are risks. He made himself vulnerable. Humans have deliberately broken this relationship with God, with our neighbours, and with our environment. That is what we call sin. And in the Son, in Jesus, God reveals himself as the one who remains true to himself, constant, forgiving, healing, even when relationships are damaged. He reveals himself as the one who can feel the pain of this brokenness, and yet will not allow himself to be broken by it. And by the way, an understanding of the Trinity as an ongoing relationship should make us very wary of the idea that you sometimes hear that the death of Jesus on the cross was God's intention, a sort of desperate plan B to correct a mistake he had made earlier. No, that's not how it is. God does not make mistakes. But as Trinity, as a relationship, God is love. If he is God, as revealed to us in Jesus Christ, he cannot be anything but love. And as you cannot love yourself alone, he has to be the relationship we call the Trinity. In the Son, in Jesus, God is revealing his desire to restore our broken relationships so that they will be like the perfect relationship of the Trinity itself. That is to create and sustain that relationship in the Spirit-filled community we call the Church. Last Sunday, Pentecost, I spoke about how the Church prays in the Spirit, and the Spirit prays in us. Because we are not just an assorted bunch of individuals who happen to gather for an hour or so on Sunday, the Spirit is to be revealed in the Church when our speaking about God in worship is carried over to our speaking with each other over coffee afterwards. The concerns of the intercessions in the service need to be carried over into our own daily prayers. The Spirit then invites us to share in the life of the Trinity, to reveal in our lives, in the life of the Church, the one perfect relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A relationship which is our hope, our joy, our inspiration. And so to that same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all honour, might, majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen. Amen.